Two strange weirdos I met in college became quick friends, and they love to travel, so they left the country and moved to Ireland. But now they're back trying to figure out life, and they're a hot mess. The Cadawamplas.
Hello, and welcome to the Cadawamplas. That's Maggie.
That's Tabinia. And we're a giant mess.
Yep, here we are. Here we are. So today we're going to kind of talk about what life was like when we first got to Ireland and how we kind of established our lives for that blissful year that we had.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and just kind of how we got to where we were, which I feel like this will be one that a lot of my family members will tune in on, because I don't know what they think happened, but it's like when maybe not that serious, but I was gonna say like when someone goes missing. It's like when someone goes missing and they come back, and then there's all these rumors though as to like what happened while they were gone, you know?
Misconceptions of what happened.
Yeah, like I'm actually, so I always hear these different like rumors of like, oh well, I heard this happened and I heard this happened, and so here's the chance, I guess, to tell the truth, although it sounds not as exciting as a rumor, so.
No, it's really not. Yeah, our life is not nearly as exciting, I think, as people think it was.
I
was going to say, so let's start with, we planned it so that, I mean, we've told the story before of how I called Tavinia and she was drunk and agreed to go or whatever, and then how I kind of waited around for a year for Tavinia to graduate grad school, whatever. So I arrived first in Ireland on like May 6th, I think, is the day that I landed, and then Tavinia came a week later. But in that week that I was by myself, I was in Dublin, and I just had an Airbnb for a week just by myself, and actually ended up meeting one of my like really good friends from Ireland there. So my flight landed at like, I don't know, like 9 or 10 in the morning. And, you know, like Airbnbs or hotels, whatever, you can't normally check in until like 2, 3 in the afternoon, 4 o'clock. Well, so I show up at the Airbnb at like 10 o'clock in the morning and was like, hello, like with my suitcase and like all my stuff, and was like, can I please come in? And so they were so gracious and like invited me in for a cup of tea, which is so fucking Irish. And then there was this girl there in the kitchen, and she was talking and had like a not Irish accent. And so I said something about like, well, that's not Irish. And she was like, oh no, I'm from Canada. And turns out she was there on the same visa. So I met my first friend, and then she invited me out with her friends. So I made a couple more friends. And then for the most part, just like hold myself up in my room in my Airbnb and like applied for jobs and stuff. Cause at this time we still thought we were going to live in Dublin. And then Tavinia came like a week late. I think it was like almost exactly a week later. And yeah.
Yeah. So we had originally, when we had talked about everything, we were talking always about living in Dublin. Like that was kind of the goal we had set before we actually got there, and we knew that there was like a big housing crisis, and Maggie, the person that she is and all the research she does and everything, like was able to find that typically it's very easy to get a job in Dublin, but very, very hard to find a job. But then there is this other town called Cork, where it's a little trickier to find a job, but easier to find housing. And so Maggie had mentioned it like a few times, like maybe we should also take like a day trip up to Cork and go look up there. And I was like, no, like that's not what we said Dublin, we're sticking with that one, and like just very stuck to my guns. And so when we got there, and I met the people that she was staying with in the Airbnb, and we then checked into our like a different Airbnb, which was the name of that cat.
George? Wasn't it just George?
Was it George?
I think it was George.
How can I forget that one? That's literally the name of one of the cats.
Wait, was that his name? I don't know. Did I just make that up?
I don't know. That sounds right.
I think it's George. Let's go with George.
How can I forget that? It's not like anyone will know the name of one of the cats here. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, George is like all grown up now.
I know. It has to be massive now.
That's sad.
That is sad. He was really cute. But yeah, we moved in. Not moved in. We were, went to that Airbnb, which was really nice, actually. And I think that day we were like, let's just go take a day trip up to Cork or whatever. And by this point, we had like silently switched positions or like ideas as to where we wanted to be. So I was like kind of open to this Cork place, but I wanted to see it first, of course. And Maggie was like kind of wanting to stick more to Dublin after being there. I'm assuming that's why. But like, which makes sense because you made your first friends there and everything like that. But so the next day, we took the train. Didn't we? Yeah, we took the train, not the bus. That's back when we were bougie.
That was when we still thought we had money.
Yeah, that was funny times. Took the train to Cork, and I instantly loved it. Like, we're walking around, and it's just like,
for me. And pouring was just rain, like, I might add. Like, it's not a nice day. It was absolutely downpouring rain. We were, like, completely soaked and, like, couldn't find our way around the city. So, like, when we get back on the train and I look at Tavinia's face, it was just, like, ding! Like, that like, meme of SpongeBob, and he has on, like, those wide eyes that are, like, all sparkly. That was Tavinia. After this, like, absolutely god-awful day in Cork, was just completely in love. And I was like, what the fuck? This town sucks.
Yep. And so, yeah, we were on the train, and I was like, I'm sold. And you were like, I'm not. And, like, it was just like, okay, how do we get to this point? And so, I mean, you can speak to how you came to the
decision.
I'm trying
to see, hold on, I can see my Polaroid on the wall. Okay, I think it says on, it's either the, well, it has to be the 19th because you weren't there on the 10th. Okay, so it says on the 19th of May, we moved to Cork. So I got there on the 6th. I think, Tavinny, I think you landed on the 12th or the 13th. And then I think we spent like 2 days in Dublin before we took that day trip to Cork. And then we literally like, I think we kind of, didn't argue is the wrong word, but like went back and forth about it for like a day, trying to make a decision of like Cork, Dublin. And then apparently on the 19th, we moved to Cork. So not even like, you know, less than 2 weeks for me and less than a week for Tavinia had decided like, nope, fuck this place. And it's funny because now we're both like, ew, Dublin, that trash town, like horrible.
Which if you like, you know anything about Dublin and Cork, they're like huge rivals. And so we are definitely buying into that. So like anytime we would like have to fly out of Dublin to go somewhere, the Dubliners would be like, oh, from Cork, oh, like that crap town. It's like, shut your trash mouth, Dublin.
Yeah.
Like
you're absolute garbage. Like, shut up, Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, you're nothing compared to our beautiful town. So but yeah, so then we got
there.
But
it took some, like, solid convincing for me. Like, I was not sold. And the the day that we moved to Cork, so each of us had one giant suitcase and then, like, a backpack and then, like, another bag. But then that was what we moved there with. But then in the, like, 2 weeks for me and the 1 week for Tavinia in Dublin, we both somehow accumulated, like, two more bags of stuff, just like food and like random crap that you just buy because you're there and you're excited. So each of us have like a significant amount of luggage, and there's only two of us. And other countries are not like the States, where like if somebody sees you struggling with your bag, they're not gonna offer to help. Like, that's your bag. So we get on the train and we notice that, like, so on the trains there's outlets in every seat so you can like charge your phone, and like the bathrooms, the doors are like electric, I guess. So you like push a button to open the door and it like zhroom open, and then you like go inside and push a button inside and it like zhroom back shut behind you. So none of that stuff was working though. Like the doors to the bathroom weren't working and the outlets weren't working on the train, and we were like, huh, that's weird. So we start going, and then all of a sudden, like, we were probably, I don't know, like an hour or two outside of Dublin, and the train like starts slowing down and then just comes to an absolute standstill on the tracks. And then like the conductor's like walking up and down the train, and like there's an engineer on board, and like he's walking up and down, and like everybody's confused. So I don't even remember, it's been so long ago now. We had to all get off the train at this like one random station. So me and Tavinia are like wrestling all of our shit back off the train. Then another train I think we got on like two or three different trains to get to Cork, hauling our crap this whole time. meanwhile, like, it's supposed to be one train. Like, there's a train that goes directly from Dublin to Cork. So it was a complete clusterfuck. So I'm already not happy about moving to Cork. And now this feels like a sign from God of, like, nope, stay in Dublin. Like, stay in Dublin. And I remember all day just, like, I would look over at Tiffany and just stare at her. And she would look back and, like, catch my eye and be like, oh, and kind of, like, look away, like, oh, never mind. I don't want to deal with that.
Which was, I mean, that was a very frustrating time. And what makes it worse, I think, for me, is that I know that all the Irish people looking at us were, like, tourists. Like, literally, it's probably just thinking that we're just there for, like, a little vacation or whatever and packed that much. When it's, like, I just feel like, I think we both want to, like, just scream at everyone, we moved here! Like,
this is all I have. Like, this is everything.
Yeah.
So. Actually, I think we said it to a few people too, as we were like, because we would wait for everybody else to get off the train because we knew that it was going to take us forever to like wrestle our shit down off the steps. And I think we would like say it to people, be like, oh, sorry, we're moving here. Like, just want you to know. Hey, P.S.
I'm going to tell you, so spread it on. Thanks. Tell someone else. So everyone knows on the train. Yeah, no, that was uneventful. And I think also that was like one of the times where Sherry was just a complete bitch and I was having some serious like bowel problems and the bathroom door wasn't working. And so it was just like, okay, like what happens now? Like I'll just do it with the door open and everybody will watch and like I don't care, but I was just kind of
weird. Like you could probably get paid for that.
Probably. Look into it actually, but yeah, so it was just an all around terrible move, the actual moving process. But then we got there. I think what was the first?
So I think we literally had to like cut our Airbnb short in Dublin. Like we canceled the rest of our trip and told them like, hey, we're moving to Cork, and they were like, oh, well, okay. So we canceled that one, and then I'm pretty sure that we. Literally, I'm so sorry, Mom, if you're listening. I'm pretty sure that we literally got on the train with nowhere to stay. In Cork. Like, I think we booked it on the train. So we booked another Airbnb in Cork. But of course, like, booking something for that night is a total long shot. So we ended up booking this room, like, in a woman's house. And it had no reviews at all. Yeah. It had no reviews at all. And she wasn't home, but she was like, my brother-in-law will be there. I'm gonna leave a key under the mat. Like he won't be home until later, but like I'll see you guys tomorrow when I get home in the morning. And we were like, okay, cool. So we show up and get the key out from under the mat and like let ourselves in. All was fine. Like we were a little unsure that maybe the sheets had been cleaned on the bed that we were sleeping in, but it was kind of like, you know, last minute accommodations. Like it's probably fine. And then like the brother-in-law got home later that night and was like just like jumpy and like he didn't speak any English. And was extremely jumpy. And like I, of course, being the overthinker that I am, had fully, I was literally shaking because I had convinced myself that we were in like a human trafficking situation. Oh, it's not funny, but legitimately thought that like we had somehow stumbled into human trafficking and that we were like about to get taken and there's no lock on the bedroom door. So we, it was a long night.
We like piled our gigantic suitcases up against the door so that we would have like some time to run if we did break in. Yeah, no, I was on that level as well, which like.
But I didn't want to say it to you because I didn't want to freak you out. And now I know that that's also what was happening on your end.
But I feel like we both didn't want to freak the other person out.
Yeah,
so it was just like this tense moment of like, what do we do? And it was just, which it's one of those things that we'll talk about on another episode about solo female travel. I said that correctly, yes. Where, I mean, we all see the jokes and stuff like that about, like, you know, the difference between walking home at night between men and women and what that looks like and how there's just that extra layer of, like, you have to be always on guard, really. Yeah. And so just to be the two of us in a new place, like, alone in this house with this random man who wouldn't stop moving. Like, he kept getting up and walking, like, all around and, like, just couldn't sit still and, like... It was just a very scary moment. So between that and the sheets and all the other stuff, we ended up leaving the next day. We were supposed to stay there for a bit, but we left and then we moved to a hotel.
Yep, because we were still bougie at this point and thought we were rich.
Yep. And we lived there for a week, I believe. But during that time, you left. because your sister had come with your nephews and brother-in-law, and y'all went to go travel and everything like that. And so I was like, all right, you know what? By the time you get back, we will be living in a place because got to figure it out. And so that's when I came across the house that we spoke about, where we met all of our little friends and lived there for a few months, little cuties. But we knew our lease was coming up because it was only a summer lease because it's meant for student housing, and it was very, very close to the college campus, which was great for you when we lived there because it was like a less than 5 minute walk.
Yeah, like I had to be at work at 9 and I would leave the house at 8:52 and still walk in the door to my office at 8:58.
Yep. So that was perfect. And then, but let's actually pause there. So then let's get to the job front of things. So
LOL. It was a fucking struggle.
A lot slower. Like, at least, I don't want to say in Ireland as a whole. I want to say it's because Cork is just not as, because once again, if we had lived in Dublin, I feel like we would have found jobs way faster. But this is something that we knew going into it, was that it might take a little bit longer than expected. And so, but my God, it felt like it was going at a glacier's pace. So we looked everywhere. We applied to so many different like websites and stuff like that, different things. And finally we had met some other Americans by that point. And one American, was telling us of a temp agency that could help you find work, and like typically with that work it becomes permanent or something like that. And so I started off going through them and had the worst of luck. Like, no one would respond to me. They said they'd get back to me and never would, and like it was just an awful experience. And then Maggie tried.
So this temp agency, our friend that told us about us told us that it would be difficult. And so like what the temp agencies do, I didn't know what that was before I moved to Ireland. We have them here, but people don't really like use them as much. What they do is like you go in with them and like you meet with the temp agency people and you bring your resume or they call it a CV in Ireland. So you bring your CV and they go over that with you and they like talk about your interests and stuff. And then they find like temporary work for you. So sometimes it can literally be as short as like one day. They just need somebody to fill in for like a sick day, up to like maternity leaves, which in every other country is like a significant chunk of time. But the first step is that you have to get an appointment with the temp agency, which is apparently very difficult. And that's where Tavinia was getting the absolute runaround. Like, they just wouldn't answer her calls. They wouldn't give her an appointment, like, blah, blah, blah. I send in my CV. So you're supposed to email them your CV first and then, like, email them to follow up and be like, hi, did you get my CV? Can I have an appointment? So I sent my CV and then sent an email asking for an appointment. And they were like, sure, can you come in tomorrow? And this is and I was expecting the worst because Tavinia had been trying for like a week to get in with them. And so I was like, well, this isn't going to go anywhere. So I go in for my first interview and she was like, well, there's this thing like at the college coming open in the management and marketing department if you're interested. And I was like, yeah, sounds good. Like, I love to work on a college campus. Sure. So I go to the interview literally the next day. And then the day after that, they called back and were like, well, you've been offered the job. So my like experience with the temp agency was like on the fucking express track, which was nice.
Yeah, and it was one of those things for me where like I'm smiling and I'm actually really, really excited for her, but I'm also crying on the inside because
because what the one, fuck.
One, I need a job. Two, what the fuck. And three, I don't do well with idle time.
No.
I like even today, so today is I think everybody says it. I say veterans. Some people say veterans.
I say veterans.
You say veterans?
Yeah.
I do too. Who says veterans? Probably
old
that
people.
Diabetes guy.
Yeah, exactly. Old white people.
Diabetes, yeah. Diabetes. So yeah, like today's Veterans Day, and like we have the day off because I work with the state. And like this has been a long weekend for me, and I was supposed to, my parents were supposed to come this weekend, but they didn't get to because things happened. And so now I'm just like sitting here like, okay, this has been fun, but I should be at work right now. Like, it's just been too much idle time for me. And so not having a job was like I had many mental breakdowns of like, I need to be doing something. I even tried to go volunteer at the library and they told me no. Like, they said, we don't take volunteers. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't understand. Like, I am, let me clean the fucking toilets. Give me some purpose, please. And so I was losing it. And I ended up actually going back and working for my cousin's magazine, which hopefully at some point we can have her on to talk about different things like side hustles and everything. But I ended up joining back up on her magazine so that I would at least have something that I was doing. But aside from that, I finally found, how did I even find that? Oh, the same friend that we had that was American sent me a link from Facebook of this person like posting about a job that's really into like my field and everything like that. And so I just like sent in my resume or CV and all that stuff. And they called me to come in for an interview, like I think 2 days later. And I was like, please God, let this happen. And like, I went and it was really informal and they were like, okay, cool. Like give us a day or whatever. And if you have any questions, ask us, whatever, blah, blah. And I found out like a couple days later that I got the job and I was super, super excited. Like, yay, it's finally happening. And then nothing happened for like, I want to say a month.
It was a long time.
And because it was the kind of job where you have shift work. And so but I had to do some things before I could actually get on any of the like rotations and stuff like that. And no one was sending me anything. I was begging pestering. I was pestering the hell out of everyone. Well, you know, maybe begging at that point because I needed to work. And I was just like emailing everyone I had ever spoken to or had to send an email to and was like, when the fuck do I get to start working? And I think finally, like it got to a very bad point where I was like, all right, guys, like if you don't let me work, I'm gonna have to either find a different job or leave this country. Like, because I've been sitting waiting for the time that I can actually start working. And which, looking back on it now, complete bullshit. But the person who was my supervisor at the time was like, oh, I was just about to email you some things, blah blah blah. And I was like, yeah, all right, bitch. But although at the time I was like, ah, yes, okay, cool, the skies are opening up for me. No, they just forgot and like whatever. And so I felt like I'd start working, which, oh, thank God. But I loved my job, but I had weird hours. I worked and I would work 12 hours at a time. And so I would be on for, well, dependent on how many, well, okay, whatever. I'm going down a hole that I don't want to go down right now. So yes, I finally got that job. We were both finally employed, but I didn't start working at that job until we had moved out of the shared house and into our apartment,
which was like end of July, right?
Yep. Well, yes. And so, I think, yep, I had gotten the job in June and didn't start working until end of July.
Yeah. Well, in my job too. So like we, on the surface, we've both like made it, quote unquote, because I have a job and like Tavinia has a job, but hasn't started working. But so that was the thing, is that Tavinia has a job, but she's not actually working, and like nothing's it's at like a fucking snail's pace. And then my job, I only got hired on for 2 weeks at first, and there was no guarantee of like that there was anything after that. So like it looks like, mama, we made it, but then like behind the scenes it's just like held together with like tape and string. Like it's just like we don't know what's happening
pretty much.
So that, I think that was probably one of our biggest struggles. Like the apartment hunt was a struggle, but it always kind of felt like, you know, like we'll figure it out and it's not the end of the world. The jobs felt like this, that literally would be the end of us, because if we don't have a job, we obviously run out of money and have to go home. Because Tavinia was responsible and saved up enough money. So for this visa, you have to have a certain amount of money in your bank account. I don't even remember now how much it is, but it's really not that much. But I think it was $4,000. Yeah, sure. Maybe. Tavinia was responsible and saved up that amount of money. I cheated the system and had, hopefully I don't get like, I don't know, kicked out. Whatever. Who's going to listen to this?
They probably made a machine now where they can suck out your memories of your time there. And like, what? You cheated us?
No, but if
take back all those memories.
But if they don't let me back in the country, like in the future, they're like, well, I remember that one time on your podcast when you said, anyway, I like cheated the system and put my name on my mom's bank account and like printed that off and then changed it back and sent that to them. So like, really, I only had like a couple $100 when I moved to Ireland. So I was quickly running out of money. And so if we hadn't found jobs, that literally would have been like, all right, we'll buy a ticket home because you're done. So that was extremely stressful.
And there's a very interesting loop, which we used to say, and I feel like my opinion on this has changed. When we first moved there, I think we would both say that, like, you know, this isn't a real... Okay, let me go back. So in Ireland, in pretty much most of Europe, they won't rent you an apartment until you have a job.
Right.
And, like, you have to show proof of a job, which at the time I would have definitely agreed that that's nothing like the United States. But since I've been, like, recently looking at places and stuff like that, almost all of them say, we're going to need to see that you have a job or something like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, which is ironic because I work for a real estate company now. And, yes, everyone wants proof of income.
Yes. And so because at least back then, maybe the times changed while we were gone. But, like, in the States, I feel like you could get a place. They don't care if you have a job as long as you keep paying. And when you stop paying, you get kicked out. Like, it's just like that.
Yeah.
But there it was like, no one is going to rent to you. But that's not true. No one is going to rent to you where they're only expecting like a deposit. They will rent to you if you don't have a job, but you need to pay 6 months up front.
Yep.
Which is so unreal. Like, even if we showed bank statements and things like that, no one cared. You needed to have a job. And so, I mean, it was a thankful thing that I had that job starting in June, but I wasn't working it because to them, it looks like I have a job, which I did.
Yeah.
But because I had such a, I hadn't started yet. And then when I did start, I had weird hours. I did a lot of the apartment searching and stuff like that. And so they have this app, which I still have on my phone because I like to dream, called Daft. And it's like kind of like the Zillow of Ireland. And well, I don't know if it's only in Ireland. I don't imagine it is.
I think so, because I think it's daft.ie.
That's true. So yeah, it's kind of like the Zillow of Ireland, and you could look at different places and stuff like that, whatever. And so I looked at quite a few, and then came across this one, which, oh god.
Red flags.
Yep. So I first came for a viewing. No, let's back up. This guy named Adam put up the ad and just put his phone number. So a lot of the ads, they would put up like their phone number and an email address, but he just had his phone number. And so I would call it. And he either didn't answer or went straight to he either wouldn't answer or the call wouldn't go through, which that should have been a red flag. But one of the times he did answer and was like, yep, come on around. Like, we'll set up a time for this, this, and this. But he didn't give me an exact address. I had to go by what was like the listing. And so I had no idea where the exact apartment was. So I kind of just hung out on the street, hoping he would come out on the street and find me. And I waited there for like a good an hour and a half past the time of the viewing. And no one had showed up. And I kept trying to call him. And it did the thing again where like it either went to voicemail or it didn't go through. And I was like, cool. And so he finally called me one time and he was like, so are you just not coming or what? And I was like, no, dude, I was here. I've been chilling here waiting for you, blah, blah. I don't know exactly where it is, whatever, blah, blah. And I think I either went back that later that night or the next day and tried again. And he came out this time and I should have known. And so showed us the apartment or showed me the apartment. It looks really nice. I liked it. And I like told Maggie about it. I was like, oh, I think it's a good one, blah, blah. And it was like right in the city center. It was a perfect location for us, right in our budget. Good deal, good deal, good deal. And so we got it, and I don't want to say I regret having that
I was just getting ready to say we got it, and I regretted it ever since.
Like, yeah, like, I don't want to say I regretted it, because it was still the perfect apartment and the perfect location. But working with that bitch-ass Adam was the worst experience in the entire world. Like, I wish there was some type of forum where we could, like, and that people actually paid attention to, where you can, like, rate apartments and stuff like that on there, because I would fucking demolish him all over that. To anyone who will listen, I will tell you how crappy it is. If you want to live at the waterfront apartments in Cork
and on work Hanover with Adam, Street.
Don't do it.
No.
Or do it, but expect to either one fix everything yourself or not have anything fixed for at least 6 months. Like, hounding him
ever. Who needs a mailbox?
Oh god. That still revs me up to like,
yeah, same.
We had those mailboxes where, okay, well, there's two gates. The gate that was on the street was typically almost always open. And then you would walk through that gate, and there was another gate where behind that gate would be our apartment complex. And so behind the first gate is where our mailboxes are. And it's like one of those little ones where it's a wall of them, and like there's like a little flap guy. And ours just completely didn't have a little door.
Yeah, so everybody else has like a flap with a key. So like their mail is like securely in their flap hole. We didn't have one of those. We just had a hole, no flap.
Yep. And hounded him about it since before we even moved in. He was like, yep, definitely going to get that fixed. The part's been ordered. All this stuff, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, oh, wow, this guy sounds really on top of it.
LOL. And then like, the narrator comes in the background and is like, he was
not on top of it. Yeah. And just many a things happened. So, God.
As a result of us not having this like mailbox flap thing, that means, so because the first gate is never locked, that means literally any Joe Blow off the street can come in and like get our mail. And we lived on a party street. Like, there's all these bars and pubs on our street. So, like, there's drunk people, like, back in our alley, like, all the time, whatever. So, we didn't trust our mail being in there because, you know, we're both gone all day for work and we work weird hours. Well, Tiffany and worked weird hours, whatever. So, we literally paid, like, a fuck ton of money for some mailbox at, like, a place down the street, thinking that Adam would eventually fix the mailbox and we could, like, cancel that and then just use our mailbox. No, we paid for the mailbox for the entire year because he never fixed it.
Because he's a piece of garbage, yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. And aside from that, there was a time when we came back. I think I was at work, maybe. I don't know why I wasn't at home. We came back and you found water and the
light
fixtures.
You were gone. We had just come back from our Christmas trip and you were leaving for New Year's with the girls.
Yes.
And I came back from Germany and Austria by myself and walked into our apartment and our entire kitchen floor was covered in like an inch of water dripping from the ceiling, like dripping out of the lights. And I tried to call him, and I have a video still on my camera, on one of my memory cards from my camera, of me, because I needed to be able to prove to I don't know who, some complaint board somewhere, that he wasn't answering. So I literally have a video of me like calling him on my phone and him not answering. And it took him like, I think it was 2 or 3 hours before he finally answered. Meanwhile, it's freezing cold and I'm scared to turn on any of the lights or the heat for fear that like it's just gonna blow up because it's wet. And he finally answered and just sent over one of his friends to come look at it. I was like, bro, this is not a job for your friend. This is a job for a plumber. Like,
yep.
The worst. And then they just told me like, oh, it'll dry out eventually. That was it. That was the solution.
Yeah, best luck with the mold and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll just paint over that later.
Yeah. Be fine. Cool. Which, yeah, there was a handyman that came and did stuff in the apartment buildings. And I know that he was there a lot more. But one of the first weeks that we were there in the apartment, he came and cut some holes in our ceiling and said, I'll be back in like 2 weeks because I'm going on vacation. And I'll fill in these holes, paint over them, all that stuff. Dude came back 7 months later.
And then once again, the SpongeBob narrator, 7 months later.
Yeah, did that. And then it was like, oh, you know what? And I'll go ahead and paint some mold paint over this ceiling up here. And best of luck to you. And was gone again. Like, between that and our washing machine and like washer slash dryer, that was just working with that man is... If any of you are ever, and I promise you, I don't care what time of day it is. From now on, I will always be looking to the social media. If any of you listening ever consider moving to Cork and you're like, hey, is it this guy? Message us and I will tell you everything. Like, I will rant and, oh God.
He was the absolute fucking worst. Like, the fucking worst. And I know it sounds like we're just being dramatic. We are not. Because neither one of us are really that dramatic of people. He was the absolute, within reason. He was the absolute fucking worst. Like, I didn't realize it was literally possible for a landlord to be that shitty.
Yeah.
So that was not ideal. But we loved our apartment. Our apartment itself was the best. I think we've talked about it before. Like, that was honestly best case scenario. He was worst case scenario.
It was such a cute apartment. And they had just changed. So when I viewed it, it still had this, like, kind of... I mean, it wasn't awful, but it wasn't the greatest, like, looking little carpet or whatever. And when I came back one time before we had moved in to, I think, get the keys or do something, he said that, you know, which, God, we should have known then, too. The moving in process was... Oh, my God. Okay, just calm down. Okay. So... Once again,
it's been over a year and we're still heated.
Yep. Just like, oh God, if I saw him right now. Although he's very attractive to me. Yeah. So it's just like this interesting emotions that go through me of like, I want to punch you, but I also just want to grab you. And
I literally never saw him. I could not take him out on the street. Like, I think that he thinks I'm this like made up being because he only 10,000%. Ever interacted with Tavinia. And like, even the time that I had to call him to like complain about the water in the ceiling, like I said, he sent his friend. Like, it wasn't even him. So I've never seen this man in my entire life.
Like, and I bet like if he ever, which he never had a chance to, but if there was ever time that he went and to the apartment while we weren't there and like looked in your room, he probably really thinks that I made you up, because then you had those pictures that Lorenzo used to be in that we cut my face and put it on his body. So he's probably like, this psychopath has like this altar room and like is inserting her life into someone else's life who she probably killed. Yeah. And like, so yeah.
Oh,
but yeah, so that was a, that's bitch ass Adam and how fucking terrible he is. But no, our apartment ended up working out really though for the best, because it was, and like we talked about when we talked about the guys, it was like a main center for like, because we're literally right in the city center. And everybody who was like traveling from afar could come and stay with us, or like we were always the pre-gaming spot before going out. And
it's just the best apartment. And do you remember like hearing you talk about like when we first moved in? I hardly even remember like moving in, but I do remember that like there was still dust everywhere, and it was really like, because he had been like renovating some stuff in the kitchen and like the flooring, so there was dust everywhere, and like the kitchen table was upside down because he was like trying to fix it. And we bought that tiny little bottle of champagne, and you tried to pop the cork, and it didn't do anything.
So it, I just faked like the pop.
It just fell on the floor.
Yeah. You know, it's not about all the little druggy bags and stuff we found.
Yeah. Oh, 10,000%. A drug dealer used to live there before us, because I vacuumed up. I think it was like little weed remnants, but I wasn't going to like lick it to find out. Vacuumed up some sort of like drug residue out of a bunch of drawers in my room. And then we kept finding little tiny, like, you know those bags that come on, like if you buy a new shirt and it has like a button on it, and they sometimes put it in that little baggie and then like
a dime bag
your shirt. Yeah, like a tiny little bag. We would find those everywhere, and they had a picture of like a guy with an afro on it. And then there was like an extremely nice, super high tech kitchen scale that was like left in my closet, not even in the kitchen, in my closet. So yeah, it was 10,000% a drug dealer that lived there before us, which kind of makes me laugh. Because they could, because it's not like Adam was ever going to know, because he never comes around.
Yep. Yeah.
I think we pursued jobs in Ireland. Shit, why didn't we just become drug dealers? Not like he would have known.
He wouldn't have. It's not like he would have cared.
No.
We moved Carlos in there for 3 months.
True. We literally had a contraband human in our apartment for like 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And that worked out for us. So
did.
And our apartment like overlooked the river, and it, God.
We'll post a picture of our apartment for the like social media for this week, because it was just the best. I miss that apartment so much. Like, it makes we have to move on, because I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, okay. So then, I mean, it kind of just like daily life. Nope, that's later. Well, a general daily life of like jobs. So like I was saying before, my job had weird hours. So there would be many a times that I'm not working throughout the weekdays or not all of them. And then I'm working the weekends. And then of course Maggie had like a normal job with normal hours and would work the weekdays and then not the weekends. And so life was like sometimes we were just like two ships passing in the night, and like
we'd like high five on the way past, like, cool, yeah, all right, see you next week,
all right, go start your day. Like when she was sometimes when she was getting up to leave for work, I'm like just getting home and like, okay, well, good night, like goodbye, and best of luck out there because I'm not leaving this place. But yeah, it was just like a in the moment. I feel like there were some times that were like, I don't think we're going to make it. Always the hope that we would, of course. But like, there were some serious times that it was like, it's probably not going to happen. Yeah, and that's going to suck so much for everyone back home who's thinking already like, this is a dumb idea. You shouldn't have never done this. And then to like have to go back home with like your head held, like, yeah. So, but talking about it now, it's just like one of those things of we actually fucking did it. And
yeah, and it's funny now because like we talk, and actually I feel like this does still happen. The two of us would like, I got paid every two weeks, and Tavinia got paid once a month. But so like it's a lot harder to budget when you only get paid once a month, because I mean, you guys know how it is, like you get your paycheck and you just like spend it on like, you know, whatever you've been saving up for all month, but then like your paycheck's gone and you still have 3 weeks of like no paycheck. So Tavinia and I would pass money back and forth constantly, like, oh, one of us can't pay rent, so like this, the other one will cover it, and then you pay him back. Like honestly, like I think if I had moved there with anyone else, I probably would have had to like buy a ticket home at some point, because I wouldn't have been able to make it, because I would cover, like she would cover my rent, like, you know, cover my ass, whatever. There was a point to this. I think the point is just that had it been anyone else who was not so cool about just like, oh yeah, like, you know, we'll figure it out, like, don't worry about it, dude, I got your back, we would not have made it.
Thanks. I got you, boo.
And still, yeah. Tavinia just sent me some money last week, actually. LOL, still haven't made it.
Such is life. Didn't we just talk about, like, some point ago about being adults and, like, or maybe not yet? Well, you know, yeah, being an adult is such an interesting situation. And now it's like, at what point do your parents stop buying you things? And apparently the answer is never.
And we're also both babies of our family, so I don't know. I don't try to play that to my advantage, but I think it definitely works in my advantage.
And for those who do know, if you've met my father, it's just it's an interesting relationship we got going there. So, yeah, lots of life happening. So even when you think you're an adult, you're not. That's the joke.
Yeah,
this is going down a depressing
we went a dark turn.
Big time. So as far as grocery shopping goes, and that was like, which I don't think I ever fully learned the lesson, even till the last day I was,
you really
there.
I didn't.
And so
both the car lesson and the freezer lesson.
Yes. So one, we had a fridge that's like meant for a dorm room, like one of those like little mini fridges, and then a freezer that was even smaller than that. Like it had one rack in it, and yeah. So
it's probably half the size of like, well, maybe not even half, maybe like a third of the size of a freezer that would be on like the top half of one of like an old fridge. Like, well, not old, people still have them, but like the fridges that have the freezer on the top and the fridge on the bottom, it was probably a third of the size of like the freezer. It was tiny.
Yeah. And so between the size of our fridge and freezer, there's also usually in the States when you go grocery shopping, right, you have a car. And so you can like, and you have a shopping cart. And so literally the only time you have to pick up any bags is putting it from shopping cart to car. Well, since we live in the city center and we don't own a car, we didn't have that option. And we didn't live very far from the grocery store at all. But when you A, go to the grocery store when you're hungry, and B, when you just for some reason can't, it just doesn't stick in your mind that, hey, you have to haul all of this back to your apartment and also fit it into your dorm size fridge and
Yep.
my size freezer. It just never clicked for me. And so I would be sometimes, oh my God, struggling walking back with
Yep.
my like weighted down bags of food. And I'm like trying to get the food home. Which it
Sometimes
was
you'd call
a
a cab too, let's be real.
no, I definitely did. I'm not ashamed of that. I called a cab maybe 3 times. One of the times Carlos was just being lazy and didn't come help me. Like he was just like, I don't want to do that. I'm like,
I love that
cool.
it's Carlos's job now.
It was Carlos's job. Let me look at him. I mean, y'all can't see him right now, but like, well, I can't see him either right now. But a picture of him, you'll see that. He's a big man. Like it would have been nothing to him. Once again, if he was able to pull me back off the stairs carrying a couple grocery bags, wouldn't be so hard. Anyways,
So he just giggles when you come in with all your crap,
yeah,
sweating.
pretty much. Like, why do you do this to yourself? And I'm like, fuck you. I don't know why I'm like this. But yeah, so like doing that whole experience was, I mean, do I wish I had a car sometimes when I was doing that stuff? Yes, but at the same time, it was always a nice little workout of having to carry it back. And it just felt so like, I don't know, I feel like we felt so, what's the word I'm looking
I
for?
always just felt
Like,
so. I think maybe this is the wrong context of the word metro, but I just felt like the
that's
ultimate, like,
exactly the
look at
word I'm
me
looking for.
living abroad, like carrying my
Yeah.
groceries home from the grocery store, like to put in my
Yes.
tiny little fridge. Yeah.
In my reusable bags, and
Yeah.
like, yeah, it was very, very cute. But if so, we started going to the one that was like really close to our apartment. But before that, we would have to go out of town to a different one that was a much bigger Tesco, if our friend James didn't drive us. And so we would take the bus. And the bus system there, well, just transportation period, is, well, so I've never lived in a big city in the States, but I would say it's close to like that, but maybe even better. And so the buses there was, I mean, it worked like normal buses. And so we would take the bus out to the bigger Tesco sometimes and come back on the bus, which would once again, it'd be a, okay, I have to carry this on the bus and then
Yep.
get off the tiny narrow bus to
Yeah.
then
And
walk
the
back
bus
to
is
your
like,
apartment.
there's 1,000 people on the bus, so like you just sit there and hold your groceries and be ashamed of yourself, basically.
And like watch everyone judge you of your purchases. Like, yes, I
Yep.
understand. I bought chocolate croissants and lots of them. Back the fuck off. Like,
Yep.
so yeah, that was the, but the buses and the train were really great. Just in general, the train obviously was a bit more expensive than the bus, but towards the end, I think we just started taking the bus for pretty much everything. The train was just a fun experience. Like, one, it's cool if you've never been on a train. And like you get to look at all the scenery and stuff like that, and it also just kind of makes you feel like Harry Potter a lot, getting to ride on it. But
Yeah, but then we realized that, like, hey, we're not that rich. So we started to. So, like, when we talk about taking the train, it was usually to Dublin to, like, fly somewhere, because they have the bigger airport. So we would take the train, but then the problem with taking the train to Dublin from Cork is that the train gets into Dublin Houston station, which is like completely across town from the airport. So then you get to Dublin Houston, and then you still have to either get a taxi, which is fucking expensive, like RIP if you decide to do that, because it would be like 50 euro, or probably not that much, but it was a lot. Or you could take the bus from the train station to the airport. So at that point, it's like just get on the bus in Cork and take the bus. And it was a lot cheaper. Like it was so cheap to just get on the bus and it takes you literally to the airport door. So that's what that bus was about. But then also like the city buses around town is what Tiffany was talking about, the grocery store.
yeah. And even though we lived in the city center, there was times that I would still take the bus to the stores in the city center,
My
because
God.
which I got shamed for heavily
Did.
by one bus driver. He was like, you know, it's only like 2 stops away, and I'm like, Oh, haha, I didn't know that. I did know that. But she's like, you know what, bus man? Just take me where I want to go. So let's not ask any questions or whatever.
The people in Ireland definitely, and I also adopted this mentality in just like a couple of weeks after living there. The Irish, so their bus system is great. There are buses that go absolutely everywhere, but they're not necessarily always on time. Like if the bus says that it's coming at 2:58, it might come at 2:50. It might come at 3:07. Like, you know, you probably need to give yourself like 10 minutes on either side of the bus time just in case. So the Irish kind of have adopted this mentality of like, if it's less than a 30-minute walk, just walk. Like, don't take the bus because it's not worth it. Yeah, so like I would walk to work every day. It was like a 20-minute walk to work probably, to try and avoid the bus. But yeah, to Vinny, I like to take the bus shorter distances.
I mean, don't get me wrong. After a certain point, I just got used to walking. Yeah. Because it just makes more sense. And then it got normal because then you're walking all the time. So it feels normal and it's not as much of like a every time, you know, except for work, because except for one client, everyone else lived super far away, which the one who lived close to me, of course, when it snowed and they needed workers. Who'd they make walk to the person's house in the snow? Who's
getting called in?
It's me. So, yeah.
So like my life, like with my job and then like the grocery stores and whatever, my life in Cork was literally within like a 20-minute walk radius of like literally everything. Cause the grocery store was only like a 10-minute walk and the bars were all like less than, you know, like 10 minutes or 20 minutes. And like I said, work was only 15 or 20. So my whole life, I didn't really need to take the bus, but Tavinia had to take the bus to get to a lot of her clients' houses that were a lot farther away.
Which, once again, talk about that helping each other out. There would be many a times that I maxed out my Leap card and I'd be like, Maggie, let's use that Leap card now. So
yeah, because the Leap card in Ireland is like it's like a prepaid card thing and you like load money on it, and then when you get on the bus you just tap it on a little machine and it like automatically deducts your fare. So yeah, we passed Leap cards back and forth a lot too.
Quite often. So
okay, let's talk about Deliveroo.
Oh god.
Okay. So first of all, if you are a Deliveroo driver or Deliveroo person listening, bless you. You are doing God's work.
Yeah.
Absolutely God's work. You are an angel. Yeah. I hope you get a tip tonight.
You deserve everything and more.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. Chariots, honestly. Just rolling around town. So, okay, like, yeah, we're trying to be cool in Metro and, like, carry our groceries and stuff like that, but we're also fucking lazy. And sometimes we just want people to bring us food, and I don't have to go anywhere, I don't have to dress anyway, except I'd have to put on some shoes, walk to the gate, and get my food, and I don't have to talk to anybody else. So we had to find some type of food delivery, and I think you had discovered it when you were in Dublin.
Yeah,
when you had first gotten there. And so it's called Deliveroo, and it's a beautiful food delivery app. And it's just amazing in itself, yes. However, there is one particular restaurant that we were frequent flyers, and honestly, I feel like they should have just given us free food for how much we talk about them.
Do you think they'd sponsor this podcast?
That would be amazing.
Boojum, sponsor me. I love you so much. I don't think you understand.
So yes, the restaurant's called Boojum. That's why she didn't just make up that word. It's like their version of Mexican food. It's kind of like Chipotle, except I hate Chipotle. But
yeah, it's like the same setup as Chipotle, but 50 yes. trillion times better.
Yes, and so that was the go-to many a night. Sundays.
I think I could for sure still rattle off my order. I think I could probably even rattle off your order.
Yeah.
Because we ordered it so much and we would like take turns ordering it on delivery. So then the Deliveroo people are on bikes. Some of them have scooters, but for the most part, it's just people on bikes and they've got these like giant, like cooler things that are designed to like keep your food warm that they wear on their backs like a backpack. And they bike up to you and hand it to you. And there's no tipping culture in Ireland. Well, there is, but like not, not nearly as much as here. So you don't even have to tip them. They just like hand you your food and then they bike away on their chariot. And it's just like, yeah.
I know there were many a times that I would come off of like a 4 workday in a row, 12-hour shifts, and like I don't want to speak to anyone. I've been in the apartment all day because like my day off, and my food would arrive, and I would go down to the gate. I would look them in the eye. They would try to make small talk. I didn't respond. I just took
No.
my food and
Yeah.
walked off. Like, to which I feel awful about because you don't speak that way to angels or lack of speech, but they understood and they
It's
took
like they
care
just,
of us,
yeah.
and they were just
Truly.
there.
Yeah. Oh, I think honestly, so this whole time, like we kind of sound like we're joking. I 1000% am not joking. Like,
No.
delivery is probably one of the things that I miss the most about Ireland, like, and especially Boojum. Oh my God, I miss it so much.
Yeah.
The other day, so there's like a local place here called Illegal Pete's. Well, it's not local. They have like a couple of places in Colorado and like a few in Arizona, I think, but fairly local. And they're like a burrito kind of place. So I ordered, I tried to like replicate my order from Boojum. And I was like, I hope this is really close. No, it was not. It was so disappointing. Like, I'm so sad. I'm pretty sure that Boojum is like in a league of its own. There is no replacement.
Pretty much. I will say for me at least, Freebirds is a close second for me. Like
Yeah.
I like Freebirds and they have good food, but it's no Boojum, so
It's not. I don't know where we go from here. Like, what do we talk about after this? Because I feel like we've just reached the peak of our podcast. Like, period. We're
pretty
done.
much.
Like, we're just gonna end the podcast here.
I think that's it, really.
Yeah. We can talk
Boojum.
about Boojum. Love of our lives. Okay, bye.
The end.
Well, let's talk about pennies. Wait, how much time do we have left? Let me check.
Oh, God.
Okay, we got like 3 minutes left. That's enough time to talk about pennies.
Satan
Penny.
created a store,
So
and
it's
its name
pennies,
is
but
Penny's.
it's not J.C. Penney. It's like Forever 21 had a illegitimate stepchild. Like, but also you love them. So Penny's is just like this store full of super, super cheap, and I mean cheap both ways, like inexpensive and also cheaply made, like this shit's gonna fall apart in a week. Stuff. Anything you could imagine, you could probably get it at Penny's, like mostly a clothing store, but they also had like home decor, like that's where we got all of our bedding and just like decorations, just random shit. And it's just like the best, but it's always full of people, like it's always an absolute zoo in there. So it's the kind of store that like you love it because you know that you can go in and like buy yourself a new shirt, a new pair of shoes, some new bedding, a pillow, and like a fake cactus, and you're only going to spend like 30 euro. But you hate going there because it is absolutely fucking packed with people.
And everyone has zero chill. Like, they don't care. They will push you
Yeah.
and move you and hit you with
Grab
their
shit out of
baby
your hand.
cart,
It's like Black
like,
Friday every day.
every day.
Yep.
So, I have this thing where I like randomly break out in hives. Typically, if I'm anxious, but sometimes it's just at random. And like, sometimes that escalates into me going into anaphylactic shock. It's very strange. We don't know why. And every time I went into Penny's, I would start to hive up. And I'm like, that says something about this place. Now, don't get me wrong, the prices are amazing. I don't like it for the reasons of one, that was just too many fucking people all the time. Two, a lot of their stuff didn't fit me. Which we'll talk about stuff like that later on. But and about shopping as a plus size woman in Europe. And just it was just utter chaos there. Like sometimes I felt really bad for the employees there because it's just like it's one of those things where like you might have just got done folding like all these shirts for a table, and as you're folding, someone's coming behind you and just wrecking that shit because that place was
Right.
never organized because it was just
No.
yeah, it was Black Friday every day essentially.
Well, and like having worked retail before here in the States at JCPenney, coincidentally, Penny's, it like I would be like folding a table and somebody would come behind you and like, you know, dig for their size at the bottom and then leave like one stack messed up, or like even if they would mess up the whole table, it wasn't that infuriating because it was generally still like repairable damage. No, in Penny's, it literally looked like the Tasmanian devil had just come through and been like, oh, you just folded this? Nah, fuck all that. And just like twirled around the whole store. It was just a fucking free for all at all times. But they had really awesome Harry Potter gear. I think maybe that's why I love Penny's so much. They always had like fun Harry Potter shirts and like Harry Potter pajamas and stuff. I have so much Harry Potter themed stuff from Penny's.
Yeah.
So I do kind of miss Penny's.
Yeah. I 10,000% don't. But
yeah, Tiffany would usually just wait on the street for me. I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go on Penny's. And she would just immediately be like, I'll be outside.
Yep.
Yep.
With like all the other like dads and like husbands and everybody else that like just does, or the old people who won't survive in there.
Yep.
Because you'll get trampled.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, Penny's.
So, yeah, that was us starting up life. And
there's us, yep, starting up life in Ireland.
That's what life kind of looked like, was a combination of, yeah, work.
And it's funny because I feel like this was mostly just a podcast of us, like, sharing our hardships of our, like, overall theme of this episode has not been the most positive. But I would fucking kill to go back. Like, I would go, maybe not Adam, but I would go through all of this stuff again just to, like, be back there. Ugh, like, it's just the best.
Now, but speaking of...
I think I just really miss Ireland today because, yeah, the end.
Yeah. But speaking on that, I feel like we should just... Not, I mean, just like life, not all of our episodes are going to be happy and cheery.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know of a single one that has been yet. Except, maybe when we talk about our friends.
Yeah.
That was about it. They're like our, like, little ray of light.
Yeah.
In this cloud of life.
Yeah, so that was how we, so I think how we started out the episode was basically saying that, like, outward facing, like, we presented our life in Ireland, like, it was so easy and that like this all just came so great. And like, I think I've talked about this before in a past episode that people think that we just moved to Ireland and like partied and drank and like never had any hardships. And like that we hardly even worked. Like people have made comments to me about how I didn't work when I was in Ireland. Like, no, I had a full-time job. Like we went through difficult stuff, you know, like we're both broke and we're passing money back and forth and Tavini is working weird fucking hours and I'm poor and just like it was like not always easy.
I'm happy no one has said those exact words to me because I feel like those are fighting words.
Well, they definitely are.
Because worked my ass off in Ireland.
Yeah.
So like I feel like honestly if someone came up to me and was like, yeah, when you didn't work in Ireland, they're gonna catch these fucking paws because I worked so damn hard over there.
Yeah.
That like, and what, like when you stop and really think about that statement, how do you, if you think we're partying all the time, how do you think we afforded that?
Right. I don't know. Well, and also the fact that like, I will say Tavinia's job was more difficult than mine. Like if we're talking about in terms of like difficulty, but I also like worked my ass off at my job. So like I said, I got hired on for 2 weeks and then they liked me. So they hired me for 2 more weeks and then a month and then 3 months. And then suddenly I was there until like the end of my time. So like, I feel like that also says something about me and my work ethic and like how hard I was working that I start off at this like 2 week gig. And then suddenly I'm like hired on full time. Like we weren't just dicking around over there.
I don't know.
On that note, catch these fucking paws. Like, I think that's
pretty much.
Is that how we're ending this?
I guess
so. All right.
I'm still like fired up thinking about that now. Like, I dare someone to come to my face.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. No, it still gets me like heated when I think about it, but can't.
Well, this has been the Cotty Womblers. And
we're gonna sign off now.
There it is.
We will we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. If you like us, go look at our social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I feel like something else, but maybe
not. Yeah, like, we just kind of pop up, like, wherever you might want to find us. Like, we're probably there, just hovering in the corner, watching.
Always watching, Mike Wazowski.
So creepy.
You turn in your paperwork, Mike Wazowski.
I fucking love her.
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah. So that's us. We're just always watching. Yeah. So come find us. It's a fun game.
All right. Well, farewell.
Okay. Gonna go now. Bye.
Bye.